Thank you, John. And thank you, those who are here with us tonight. I trust that what I'm going to say to you will really encourage you in this hour. I know that sometimes things can seem so, well, difficult. Sometimes you don't have understanding of what God's doing, and you're fighting maybe even apathy. And at times like that, for the Lord to talk to us and say, don't go there because victory is just ahead. And the victory this time is going to be greater than at any other time in history. What the Lord has for us is so grand. I know you've probably heard many prophetic words about the last day's revelation. But the reality of it is that we are going to go through quite a season of blessing for the church. Such blessing that in reality, heaven is going to join the church on earth. And the manifestations of what will happen are simply amazing, just absolutely amazing. We could try to understand, but as I say every time I speak on what's coming, I don't think we can understand. I think it's so paramount just to let our faith reach out for the things that are almost not describable. You know, as Paul says, they're too holy, too sacred to talk about. And so God, though he talks to us, he doesn't give us the deep understanding of things. It isn't that prophets are not pressing in, trying to hear these things, but they'll be released exactly when we are prepared to be able to hear it and understand it. That may seem strange to you, but we all have this place in God, and it's different for each one, where he may want to take us up to the higher level, or at least a higher level, but we're not ready to go. We're not ready to hear his holy words, and we're not able to understand. Everyone passes through that, and they pass through it many times in their walk, because you have to be prepared by the Spirit. There has to be an enablement done by the Spirit. And if that has not been accomplished and God is wanting to take you into a new level, it wouldn't do him any good to speak to us, because we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't be able to make use of what he's giving us. So it would just turn out to be a real frustration for us. He's not wanting to frustrate us. He's wanting to teach us. His Spirit is with us and in us as a paraclete, but also as a teacher. So, you know, if you're a second grade teacher, and that's what you've done all your life, and someone puts you for 1 year in a fifth grade class, the next year you go back to your second grade class, you look at your dear students, and you think, these wonderful children would love to hear and see what the fifth graders are getting, but they just can't comprehend it yet. So we're all in process. We're all walking up the stairs of revelation. And God is building within us the ability not only to hear, to see, but to make use of the revelation he's giving us, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that is due to his wisdom, his love for us, his care, and his understanding of the human soul. So my hope is that most who are joining us tonight maybe has been with us through other teachings in this series, you might say, and you're ready for what I'm going to share with you tonight. Perhaps you've read my book, Melchizedek, and if you have traipsed through that book, you're probably ready for what I'm going to say tonight. God knows, and I'm going to pray that even if there are places where understanding isn't real clear, I'm going to ask him to put those things on the shelf of your heart, prepare you, and bring you back to those things so that you can understand them, have the joy of walking them out. I mean, that would just be so wonderful. And you can, of course, go on to our website and listen to what I'm saying. And you can download the teachings on the website. We're soon going to have, you might say, types of manuscripts on the website so you can read it and be able to pull up things that you've heard in conjunction with the teachings that we're going to be putting on the website. We really want you to get hold of this, and we really want it to help you get to the next level of maturity in Christ. So we're trying really hard to give you everything we think will help. And if anyone has any ideas of what we can do more, please just send us an email. Let us hear from you and see if, in praying, that God would say, yes, this is a good idea, do it. So with that, I guess I will start sharing with you the things that are on my heart. Melchizedek, the Melchizedek priesthood, is first and foremost Christ. Secondly, and why it is so beneficial to us, is that it's Christ, and it's Christ in us. Not all will come into the Melchizedek priesthood because they're not ordained to do that. God didn't create you for that purpose. But if you are one whose heart is wide open, then whether you are one of the people of that priesthood or you're not, you can still be as blessed by it as though you were part of it. So don't let anything breed discouragement. Let everything that's said tonight put in your heart encouragement over the days that are coming. So Melchizedek priesthood. This priesthood is kingship. Again, it's the priesthood, but there's also the prophet and the apostle. The scriptures, let me share the scriptures with you. Psalms 110 gives us a good understanding of the priestly ministry, but also the kingship ministry. Isaiah 11:1, Hebrews 7:1 through 3, also the kingship ministry that is in Melchizedek. Hebrews 3:1 is the apostle or the apostolic. And Mark 6:4 shows us that Christ was also a prophet, and so that also is part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And then we see in Christ that Melchizedek is a priesthood of light. It is heaven's authority. It is a priesthood, not that can see the light or take part of the light or any such thing, but it is a priesthood that is literally light. Just as Christ is light, this priesthood is light. Just as heaven is light, this priesthood is a heavenly priesthood, and it is light. So where do we see that? Well, there are many, many scriptures that talk about Christ, the light, awakening us in the light. And I've shared many of those scriptures throughout the weeks that I've taught. There are many scriptures that I still have that I have not taught, but there are many that do help us understand that Christ is light, the priesthood is light, and the church was created to walk in the light, even as Christ is in the light. And if you have the opportunity to know and understand experientially what that means, it will change your life, really and truly. We see in the scripture that Jesus goes up under the mountaintop in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, goes up under the mountaintop and is transfigured before the three of his disciples. And that transfiguration is the inward Jesus, who is light, revealing himself in the human figure so that we can know and understand not only what he is, but what we will look like in the days ahead. We will be light if we have paid the price for him to prepare us for that incredible explosion that will go on inside of us by his own decree, his own hand. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18 agrees with what we found in Matthew. This issue that we are light, that he is going to make in us such light that we will bear the brilliance. We call it the glory. And in some respects, it is the glory. But that glory is light that emanates from Christ, emanates from the Father, emanates from the Holy Spirit, emanates from heaven, and emanates through those that have paid the price to obtain that position. The last time we were in D.C. for a gathering, I had a remarkable experience. It was so wonderful. I was kind of adjusting my sheets so that I could lay down and pray and go to sleep because I was pretty tired after the service. So I sat up to adjust my sheets, And as I kind of move my hand underneath the sheet to straighten it out so that it could cover me completely, I saw emanating from the palm of my hand the most glorious light. And it not only shined round about my hand and in my arm, but also you could see the light shining through the sheets. I just didn't think, because my mind is, I'm really tired, I want to get to sleep. So I realized that I was going to have to also straighten it to the left. So I put my hand again under it and straighten it to the left, and the same thing happened from my left hand. That's when I said to myself, oh my goodness, the Lord is showing me the life of the crucified one, because you do have to be crucified in him to come into this place. The Lord is showing me the light of the crucified one. It is so brilliant. It's so beautiful. There have been several times in my Christian walk, well, at least in the last several years, where he has shown me, let me experience myself the light which is in me due to my walk with the Lord. I can remember one time he took me to heaven. I was on a walk, really, with my dear friend Bonnie. He took me to heaven. He just interrupted our talk. I was actually teaching her out of the scripture. And he just interrupted the whole thing and took me to heaven. And there I found myself standing before Jesus. Jesus had something he wanted to teach me. So he began to teach me on the light. And as he taught me, coming out of his mouth and streaming down on me like a fountain or like a waterfall was the light. It was like a liquid. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a liquid light, but it had life in it. It was living. So as it came down upon me, my whole essence changed. And it kept coming down on me over and over again. All the time he was talking, he was baptizing me in the light so that I could hear what he was saying and understand it. It was being placed in me by means of this liquid light. When he was finished talking and baptizing me in the light, he sent me back to earth. And when Bonnie realized that I was back, she said to me, "Where did you go?" And I said, "Heaven, Bonnie. I was before the throne of Christ, and I'll tell you, but I can't tell you right now because I was so inebriated from what he'd been given, I could hardly sound a syllable, rather than, you know, let alone trying to teach her about the whole experience. But because of this light, explosions of joy kept going on inside of me, like forcing itself, like almost like a bomb of joy, not balm, B-A-L-M, but a bomb of joy would come from my innermost being and just explode outside of me. I couldn't talk. By the time it was done, I couldn't even see. And And yet all I could do was laugh. I was so filled with joy. I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. When things settled down, Bunny and I could continue walking, and I would share with her as much as I could what had happened. What I'm trying to say to you is this thing is real. When he was flooding me with light, I understood things I had not been able to understand before about the things of God and the things of the kingdom. It changed me forever. It was like I was elevated into a whole new place in God. I was so excited. I was so humbled. I was so... all I could do is magnify the Lord. It was like I was insignificant. I didn't matter. All that mattered is that I was given a place as a human being to bring true glory, to bring true abounding worship to my Savior from earth. The whole thought of it was so wonderful, and also the revelation of the fatherhood of God. It was so exciting. It was so wonderful. Also, more revelation of what happens when the Godhood literally comes to live inside of you. Paul writes about it in the book of Colossians. And this is another thing that the Lord was teaching me when he had me in heaven. And so when you experience that, you feel like you've been made a new person. No longer like the prototype of the people on earth, but a new person. This person made of heavenly essence. Made of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, just like Paul wrote about in Colossians. So now, you become a saint or a person of light. Paul talks about the day that we are a new creation, and indeed we are, because now, you're not just a human being that has a little bit of the Spirit in your heart, and you're learning how to love the Lord, but you are a new creation. You are as much the light of heaven as you are a human being. And this place in God is so phenomenal. For the rest of your life, you will forget about you. You will not even be cognizant of your own existence. You will see through the eyes of Christ. You will know through the mind of Christ. Life is transfigured for you. Can you imagine what that would be like? While we are transfigured in this way, there is this company called Melchizedek that will have the priesthood, the kingship, the prophet, and the apostle mantles operating, functioning through them. And as I already said, they will be functioning in heaven's authority. You may think, well, we've got heaven's authority. Not yet. Although he has given us a mantle of authority, and he's given us really a mantle, a small dimension of the priesthood and the king, it isn't the authority without bounds that is coming. the authority of heaven, which is far more dramatic, far more potent, a far greater force than anything most Christians have ever experienced or seen. That's coming, and it's coming to us either in Melchizedek, if we're one that has been set aside to walk in the Melchizedek priesthood, or we will function because Melchizedek carries a heavenly authority to place inside of you heaven's reality. Just as the disciples were turned from one kind of being to another kind of being once Christ ascended, it will be the same thing, except in greater measure at this time. This outpouring of His Spirit, His glory. So, coming is the priesthood of light. And He is the purpose of this priesthood of light is to create in the church an army of light. And when that transpires, the world will change. Now, of course, there will be those who love their darkness. You're not going to be able to change that. But there will be so much light coming upon the earth from the army of light that devils will flee just at your presence. The Bible tells us that they shake and they quake at the presence of God. And they will shake and quake at the presence of God in you. So there will be places all over the earth that will literally be covered, clothed. There will be an umbrella of God's light hovering over the area that God has inundated through His army. I've seen this army of light. The first time I saw it, I was in so much awe, I couldn't say a word. I couldn't talk. The vision literally overtook me because those saints had become glorious. But more than the glorious transformation over them and all around them was this light that was so brilliant that it was, you could only equate it to the light that clothes the Lord. You couldn't look at it. You'd look and look away very quickly because the whole army was an army of light. They were coming up over the hill, and I could hear that their feet touching the ground was shaking the earth. They had such authority and such power. Coming out of their eyes were beams of piercing light. But they came to magnify Christ. And in this army, I hope you'll believe this because it will only add to the beauty and glory of what God is going to do. In this army was not only Christians from earth that had been experiencing transformation, but saints will come from heaven to join them for this last day's extravaganza. In heaven, they walk in so much greater authority that God will do this to ensure that He gets everything done that He wants to get done before the end comes. If He could reveal it to you, in a picture or a dream. I can tell you, my dear friends, it would change your life as it has changed mine. So let's look at Psalm 110. Do you have a Bible? John, would you like to read it?
Okay, let me pull it up here. Psalm 110?
Yeah.
And which verse?
All.
The whole thing? Okay. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
I think that that passage is nothing but pure beauty. The glory that the church is going to bring to our King is going to be so extraordinary that there's not going to be any... you won't even conceive or perceive that you could touch his glory or take credit for what he is doing, because you will know, you will be so humble that you will know that everything that is happening under his lordship is going to be because of who he is and what he has done, that we are just instruments in his hand to produce a glory in the earth that will enable as many people to get saved as possible. I could teach forever on this passage because it is so rich and full of truth, but we're not going to say any more right now. It's a holy priesthood. It's a holy kingship. It's a holy prophetic. It is a holy apostolic mantle that he bears as the head of the army of God in the earth. Ricky, are you by any chance on the line? Starting with verse 2, going down through verse 5.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 through 5.
Verse 2? Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithful the girdle of his reins. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
So you see that the mantle of heaven's government, that's what this is. that was just read. That is the mantle of heaven's government that rests upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ at this very moment. But let me please tell you what it feels like, what it does to the one who receives that same mantle, because they have paid the price to be reduced so that they could. He came to me. I was actually praying over this passage and had been for 2 years, asking the Lord to fill me with it. And I would say to him, because I'd never heard anyone teach on it, I'd never known anyone who had received it, and so although my heart hungered with such a passion to bear this for his glory, I dared to pray. And so, because I didn't want to offend him, I said to him, Lord, you know my ignorance. If this prayer is pleasing to you, I know that you feel the passion that drives me to pray it several times a day, every day. And I pray that you will answer my prayer, accept my petition, and allow me to have this incredible gift, and help me understand the value it will carry for your church. This particular night, he came. And when he came, he looked at me and he said, Nita, come and stand beside me. Now, when he said that, you know, Jesus is like 6 foot, 6 foot two. He's tall. But when he said that, he said, I want you to stand shoulder to shoulder with me. Well, I'm 5'2". So I didn't know how I was going to be able to do that, but when I stepped over beside him, somehow we were shoulder to shoulder. And I felt a yoke, a double yoke, come upon me and my Savior. Part of the yoke, and the yoke looked like a yoke that you would put on two heads of oxen. So one part of the yoke was upon my shoulders, and the other part of the yoke was upon his. And when that yoke came upon me, everything that was inside of me, primarily the nature of sin that is inside of every human being until Christ would prepare us to be free of it. Not many people experience that in this life. So everything that was in me due to that went down, 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 and out my feet. When it left me, everything that was in Christ began to fill me through that yoke. That is what the yoke accomplished, pouring out and the infilling. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Nita, the yoke that is upon you is the government of the kingdom. This is what you've been praying for. You've been praying for it for 2 years, and now it's time to give it to you. I didn't know at that time, but I came to understand shortly after that, that there can be two impartations. One that literally removes the sinful nature from the one who is receiving this government. The other, which is usually the preliminary step, comes in and begins to work to deprive the sinful nature of its power to stay in that believer. Now, if you don't understand the whole dynamic of the sinful nature and its connection to the believer, this may just go in your head and back out of it, and I'm so sorry for that. But if you will listen to this tape and ask the Lord to share with you, to teach you about this process, I believe that if your heart is sincere, He will teach you. In this impartation, it literally consumes your will to become the will of God. You may have a thought or so, thinking, I would like to do thus and so, but the minute that that yoke, like, convicts you that that is not God's will, you would turn from that will with momentary sorrow that you even let that thought through your mind, because you are now so given to the Lord, you would not do anything that would displease Him. You will be filled with the nature and the character of Christ. There's no more thoughts about your future, no more thoughts about your today. All of your thoughts are consumed with His will for today and for the future, and your part in it. What He thinks, you will think. If He doesn't think it, those thoughts would never go through your mind again, except if a spirit is trying to, you know, pierce you with that. And the minute you realize that it was not the Lord, you would ejaculate it out of you. This is, I don't think I'm beginning to really help you understand the beauty of it. So let me go on a little bit and then maybe come back. This passage is the passage of the seven spirits of God. And the seven spirits of God represent the government of God in heaven and in earth. Let me go back through this for a moment. First of all, you have the Spirit of the Lord. And that spirit is red. Then you have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. The spirit of wisdom is amber. The spirit of understanding is yellow. Then you would have, let me get back to the passage, the spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of counsel is, you know, this red that you would see to be the spirit of the Lord is the most beautiful red you've ever seen. It's translucent. I've never seen red like it. It is just awe-inspiring. And the same thing with this green. I don't know if you could see a green like this on the earth. It is so beautiful. It's like a living color. It's true of all of these, incidentally. The amber doesn't look like depressive or anything like that. It is, again, it is so beautiful. Then you would have the spirit of counsel and of might. And the spirit of counsel, oh, that's the green. And the spirit of might is a light blue, like you would see in the sky. Then, and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is violet in color. Knowledge is indigo in color. So you have before you the colors of the rainbow. And these colors of the rainbow have been set in the sky to remind us of God's promise to never destroy the earth again by way of a flood. But I believe that it's also saying that the seven spirits of God watch over this promise, because the colors of the rainbow are exactly the colors of the seven spirits of God. And that was what was inside of me as I stood beside our Lord with the yoke of the kingdom on my shoulders. I was totally possessed by the seven spirits of God, the spirit of might, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of understanding. And this spirit of knowledge is not, although God can speak anything to you through it, the main purpose of the spirit of knowledge is to teach you about Christ and the kingdom. So you are well prepared to follow him, like in a way that you have never followed him before, and to hear his counsel on what to do and when to do it, to have wisdom on how to overturn things that would be striking against the Lord's will. The spirit of knowledge is to know the Lord. He, without his work, without the counsel of the Spirit of the Lord, you cannot know him. You wouldn't understand it if he tried to reveal himself without his Holy Spirit in you. But when you have the seven spirits of God inside of you, the knowledge of God is higher than the heavens. And it is so, filled with the holiness, with mercy, with humility. You have the ability to walk in the understanding of divine judgment. And because you have been reduced of the sin that would cause you to pervert that, you can hear the judgment of the Lord, hear the divine judgment, and decree it or declare it. I hope you're still with me. I won't take much longer, but let me say this. The purpose, one of the greatest purposes of the church in the earth, is to bring God's government to earth. So if we see a ruler like Hitler destroying the masses, we could rise up and decree God's judgment on him. We wouldn't need to be ashamed or afraid, because we have the mind of Christ. We understand God's will in this matter. And he will use the church to bring down tyrants, to bring down mountains that don't belong there. And I'm talking about human or spiritual. and to raise up the valley of leaders that will be a healing, that will be have the heart of David, that cared so much for the people of God, or Mordecai. We will have an understanding of his precious heart. We will walk in the humility that will allow us to become one with that heart. And boy, I'm telling you, you've never walked in love, no matter how much love God has given you for another person. You've never walked in love until you have tasted the love of the divine. It is so different than human love. It would absolutely amaze you. And if that love is living inside of you, you are forever changed. You'd give your life anytime for people, for cities, for churches, for nations. You would give your life to bring the love of Christ to the earth. And it would be love that would compel it. So this new priesthood, Melchizedek, the priesthood and the army of light, will be so filled with the seven spirits of God, with the nature and character. I wish I could share more with you, but probably I'm going to have to do it next week to finish this out. But you will be so, it's the life and the love of God has taken dominion over any of the lower nature to such a degree that there really is no more personal care for yourself any more than there was in Jesus. You're quick to go wherever he tells you to go. You're quick to stay if he tells you to stay. Your life is not your own, it's his. And you're walking in, now get this, you're walking in the fellowship of his light constantly, with your soul being illuminated and your life swallowed up in him. I hope I've been able to give enough clarity and that I didn't talk too fast. I hope I've given enough clarity for you to be able to take it to the Lord and begin to pray that you will be one of those. There will be a greater measure in the earth than ever before. And anyone who's willing to pay the price to be a part of this army of light, it will be yours. Let me pray for you. Father, we are so excited. Our hearts are impassioned. Our hearts are like the flame of your fire. To know that we can walk with you in this way and be such a glory to you as your son, because it will be him doing it through us and not of ourselves, brings us such joy, brings us such excitement, brings us such passion to make ourselves ready for this. We know that it doesn't matter when we get started on this progress, this process. We know that it only matters that we give our will to it. Give our all to it. because you can do it in a year, if necessary, to bring us up to the rest of the army. It may take 10 years. We don't know, but we need to get started tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you will baptize these people in the spirit of enlightenment. I pray that you will baptize them in such a love, such a passion for your glory and for your life. I pray that their lives as Christians will be utterly changed because you have taken the reins of their heart, the reins of their will, that you might saturate their soul with light and illumination on how to follow you, how to walk with you. Oh, how wonderful, Lord. Baptize them now. Please just raise your hands and begin to worship him with tongues, with the tongues of the Spirit. Baptize them now, Lord. Let the coals of their heart be aflame with the glory of your fire, with the love, with the passion, with the faith, the hope, that they too can enter into this most sacred place. This is life in the Holy of Holies, Lord. Touch them with the fire, with the key that is going to unlock the door of their hearts to this greater glory, this greater life, that they might become holy, an instrument of light. A son of light, a daughter of light, and a soldier of light. Do it now, Lord, and we give you praise. We humbly bow before you, and we thank you for your kindness, your awesome ways. Let us walk with you as Enoch did, Lord. Let us walk with you as Moses did, that we might bring you glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John.